Hello, 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 sister. I am so glad you're here. You are listening to the Daily Mantra Podcast, and I'm your host, Jessie Truelove. As a double C-section mom who found her message through her own mess of postpartum, it is my mission to help mamas like you restore function in their bodies and trust in their guts. I'm a huge believer that mama knows best, and my hope is that through these meaningful conversations, you find tools that resonate and help you mother the way that feels truest to you. In today's episode, I sit down with Holly Brandenberger of Science of Essentials on Instagram. She has a Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, is a certified aromatherapist, as well as an instructor for the School of Aromatic Studies. She's also an author who has written 3 books on using aromatherapy in the past year and is currently working on her 4th. This episode was really fun because personally, I have been using Young Living essential oils and products for 3 to 4 years, and we use the oils and infused products in our daily life. But to be honest, I'm not 100% sure on how and why it really works. So learning more about the body and how scent and aroma can impact our stress and nervous system was really eye-opening for me. I love to learn, and I really love to learn how the things that we use in our everyday life impact our body on a cellular level. None of this episode is medical advice, and like I always say, do your own research. You are the gatekeeper of your home, and it's your duty to understand labels and find what works for you and your family. I hope you love this episode, and with that said, let's welcome Holly to the Daily Mantra Podcast. Holly, welcome to the Daily Mantra Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. It has really been quite an act of God to get us together. Because I feel like we've been talking about doing something for probably, I feel like it's 6 months. Is that an exaggeration? I feel like 6 months might.
It might be a little bit longer. Yeah.
It might be longer. Yeah. So I found you. You're going to go into your introduction, but I think you are the bee's knees, just quite literally. You're like this woman that lives in the wilderness, basically. From your Instagram, I just was like, I need to have this lady on. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I sent you a list. I was like, can we talk about 50 things? Like, can we talk about oils and mushrooms and your canning things? And I mean, you literally look, your Instagram page makes it look like you live out in the wild. You forage. You're foraging for things. Holly, can you introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do for reals? I'm making you sound like you live in a yurt. You don't.
Oh my gosh. That was quite the introduction. I'm not sure how I follow that and describe my maybe boring life from there.
No, you're not.
You're so funny. Okay, so yes, I am Holly. I am a registered nurse. I am a certified aromatherapist. We do live out in the wilderness just outside of Seattle. We have a little family farm and huge garden, lots of animals, and I have 3 little kids and a husband, and we are just busy, but yet live simply, if that makes sense. Like you can do both. And I feel like that's where I get a lot of like my calmness and happiness from. But yeah, I've been a nurse for 17 years and I've worked in a wide range of different areas, trauma, post-surgical, endoscopy. I also worked in hospital administration for a few years. So it's kind of fun, like knowing all the different realms of healthcare. I've always been really fascinated by stress and how that impacts patients. And I think like when you look back on your life and you always see just these little like pebbles that lead you down the path and you're always like, oh, it makes sense. Like I've always been like pulled towards stress and watching how that impacts just my patients. And, you know, everyone always would come into the hospital, maybe not the trauma because that was always something unexpected, but a lot of my patients that they were struggling with something and they always had stress in common and just knowing how that stress is impacting the body. So I found aromatherapy. In 2016, it kind of like just kind of found me when I became a mom. And I really loved learning about how essential oils can strengthen that mind-body connection. And I became a certified aromatherapist in 2020 and just really dove deep into the science, which is really what my like Instagram account is focused on, just the science. Like I love the research. Like I want to know the why. Like if you're going to tell me a really great fact, like you better tell me like what study it came from and what like yeah. more behind it or how it's interacting with the body. Cause that's just how my mind works. Like I'd love to know the how and the why. And it's really hard to find that, I feel like, in the aromatherapy world. So I wanted to be that person. So that kind of like dove deep. I took a lot of specialized courses in just chemistry and internal use and trauma and skincare. Last year I started working with hospitals, bringing aromatherapy to the bedside for patients, which is like, I feel like my calling in life. It's been so rewarding to see that. I'm also an instructor through the School for Aromatic Studies. So I teach aromatherapy certification courses through their school, which is such a blessing. I just graduated a class of 92 students and I'm so proud of them. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. Yeah, just I love to combine, you know, my background in just modern medicine with also just these like holistic health. I feel like the two really merge really well together. And I feel like there just needs to be more of that like shared in the world.
Absolutely. And I feel like I just got the chills when you immediately said, because I don't know, like obviously people that are listening to this on podcast can't see you or maybe have never been to your page before, but you are just somebody that is always smiling and you just have such good energy. And I got the chills when you said like you last year, because I was still, you know, I was following your account, that you said you were doing this bedside aromatherapy, and I watched your stories because you talked about that and like how it was helpful. Yeah. And it's just to see you be able to like come from modern medicine, find aromatherapy and kind of like merge the two and like find how you're bringing that, and you're just so passionate about it. It just feels right, you know? And I think that there's so many people, like for me, like I started using essential oils. I use Young Living. We can dive into all that controversy in a little bit, but I found them through motherhood also. And I just, you know, I don't understand all the science behind it. And I think that's kind of where people are like, oh, that's woo woo. So I don't want to even, you know, talk about it. Like, that's dangerous or like whatever, but it really is like more simple. Like you said, like it's coming back to nature, you know, you're like, you literally do forage mushrooms. I did watch that.
Yeah.
You can't deny. You're foraging for mushrooms out there. And I'm like, where I want to go visit. I want to forage mushrooms with you. But the fact that you're able to back all of this with science and like facts, I feel like it's something that people are looking for.
Yeah.
And you present that information in a really digestible way on your page. And I think it's just, it's so helpful. That's why I wanted to have you on, because I use the products, I use essential oils. And I think that, and other things that you mentioned, like, you know, just being out in nature and enjoying flowers and aromas and how smells impact emotional responses. I think that is so interesting. And like, we're all experiencing that, but we don't necessarily connect the two, that I'm having this emotional response because of this aroma, right? Or pheromone. So I have a ton of questions for you.
Yeah. I think we live in this totally fast paced, like busy life now that I feel like a lot of us just want to get back to our roots. And like we find peace through nature, and it's so simple. That's all it is. It's just like simple nature, like being by the water or smelling the forest or a flower. Like that's really what aromatherapy is like bringing us back to our roots and just like taking advantage of just slowing down and literally just like stopping and smelling the roses.
Right. Yeah. It's so simple. And it's just like the hardest thing to do, like to be
present. Yes. Yes.
And that is my number one thing I need to work on, is like being more present. So we talked about your kind of background in aromatherapy, how you got started, when you got started. What is an aromatherapist? So you're certified as an aromatherapist. What is that, and how would we utilize one?
So an aromatherapist just simply is just someone who has been trained through an accredited program in the proper use of essential oils as just a complementary like health approach. And aromatherapists, I mean, a lot of them, there's a lot of different pathways that aromatherapists can take. I mean, they can make skincare products, they can work in hospitals and be a clinical aromatherapist, they can be an educator. There's like lots of different pathways, but basically their just role is just to promote health and healing through plants and essential oils and hydrosols.
And how does aromatherapy work? How does it work? Like we can smell the smells, but what is actually happening on a scientific level? Why do we smell lavender and have this calm? Why do all the spa products have fake lavender smell in it, but it's not the real probably lavender? But why is like lavender this you know, what's the science behind using aromas in that way and like specific ways?
Okay, so that's a great question because I think that's a question that a lot of people want to know. They're like, well, how exactly does it work? Like, tell me how. So essential oils are made up of, you know, in the little bottles, they are incredibly potent. So you take the plant matter and you steam distill it or express it, and you end up with this little bit of oil that is incredibly potent. Like a bottle of, you know, lemon contains, I mean, it takes 75 lemons to make a 50 milliliter bottle of lemon essential oil. So it's potent, right? But within that bottle, those essential oils are made up of dozens to hundreds of chemical constituents that have been shown to have varying effects within the body. So if you've ever taken chemistry in the past, like some of this might kind of ring a bell if you didn't like block it out completely, but like, you know, ketones and aldehydes or terpenes or phenols, esters. So those are all like chemical families that essential oils have constituents within those families. And each of those families has different varying properties that impact the body. And this is not something new. I mean, chemical constituents are found in, you know, modern day medicine. There's so many examples, you know, methyl salicylate and aspirin and there's so many examples in just modern day medicine. So, but what we know is that, you know, some of them are antibacterial, some of them are analgesic, some of them are sedative, some of them are calming, like you mentioned, lavender. So how exactly does that work? Like some essential oils impact us on a physiological level. So maybe we apply peppermint to our hand and it creates like this somatosensory effect, meaning that it stimulates those nerve receptors. So it contains this I'm getting all nerdy, but I'm just going to do it.
No, I love it.
So it contains this constituent. So it contains this constituent called menthol, which a lot of people have heard of, but when you apply it to your hand topically on the hand, it will make this pulling sensation, which is like, even when we chew gum, we experience this. You chew peppermint gum and you feel like cool and kind of wake up the senses, right? Right. So that's because of the menthol. So this is the reason why it's so helpful for like, say, head tension or like muscle aches or neck pain and those sorts of things. Some other essential oils contain, you know, constituents that are helpful for just supporting the digestive system. So we apply them to, you know, our abdomen, maybe with a carrier oil, meaning like, you know, you dilute essential oils with a carrier oil. So you're not just going to apply just a drop of, you know, ginger or fennel on your abdomen, but you want to dilute them because they are extremely potent. But you can rub them on, that can help just support your digestion. You know, some essential oils are really great for just supporting the skin and just skin healing. Even with like blemishes and things like that, tea tree is a great oil for, you know, blemishes. But probably the most, like the main thing for aromatherapy is just the psychological effect. And probably the most, I mean, it's the biggest pillar of aromatherapy practice. So the reason being is because our olfactory system, so olfaction means our sense of smell, is directly connected with our limbic system. So for those that don't know about the limbic system, it is just a part of our brain that contains the amygdala, which is really important for our stress response, which is our fight or flight response. So our emotions, our behaviors, our motivations, and our hippocampus is also within the limbic system, which is in charge of just forming memories. So our olfactory system is directly connected with this limbic system. When we smell, you know, an essential oil, like I have lemon and I'm smelling it, those like odorant molecules like just immediately trigger these electrical signals in our olfactory bulb. And then it fires these nerve axons, which go directly to the limbic system. No other sense that we have, you know, when we see something or taste it or hear something or touch it, has this direct connection with the limbic system. You know, at first, those first, you know, have to be processed through the thalamus, which then, you know, sends it for interpretation. So it's literally one synapse away from our limbic system, which is one of the reasons why it has such a strong effect on our emotions. Just this profound impact on just both positive and negative emotions.
That's incredible. You know, I have this oil that I have a couple of follow-up questions, but just to, like, connect the dots just of like memory and, you know, like the stress response, like fight or flight and all of that. I had an oil going in my delivery room when I was going into my second C-section. It's like a blend from Young Living. It's called Gentle Baby.
And now every time I smell that smell, I'm like zapped right into my room. And it's like good and bad, yes. You know, because I, like when we first were in our room, I was having like major shakes of just stress. I had no medication on board, literally nothing. I was about to go have my planned C-section, which I was feeling way better about than my emergency C-section. That was my first, but it was still like I was having a, I think a trauma response from my first experience. Mm-hmm. But I had that smell going. And then when I come back from the OR and I get to meet the baby for the first time, the smell is going. And we're there for, you know, however many hours. And it just is such a fast, and I don't use that smell all the time. And I think so every time I do, it's like such, it's not like a regular smell that I smell all the time. It's like, this is when we had River, you know, this is our delivery smell. And, you know, it can be really powerful, just like you said, yeah. And it's so fast. The other thing I was wondering about is you mentioned the parasympathetic nervous system with fight or flight. When I do a lot of breath work in my coaching for my clients in my app. So let's say somebody's doing, like a pelvic floor release. Pelvic floor is really connected to that fight or flight. A lot of women are very, very tight in their pelvic floor due to stress or trauma or anxiety or worry. It's like such a mental and emotional reason why this physical response is happening. So do you think it would be helpful to have an essential oil going during one of these videos when you're tapping into deep breath work or release work of your pelvic floor that's like highly sensitive? Hey sister, let's talk about skincare that really works and doesn't leave you feeling like you've got buyer's remorse. I'm talking about Dime Beauty. These products are made from clean ingredients, are vegan, cruelty-free, and contain no harsh chemicals. Dime products are also ranked between a 1 and a 3 on the EWG toxicity scale. As I'm sure you already know or have heard, fragrances can be harmful to the skin and clog your pores, so of course Dime Beauty products are fragrance-free, which I totally appreciate. My favorites are the mascara, Hyper Glow Vitamin C Serum, and the TBT Serum. It's honestly the best clean mascara I've ever used, and trust me, I've tried them all. Dime Beauty is a budget-friendly, vegan, and cruelty-free option for fantastic skincare. Their packaging is glass, making them eco-friendly, and they offer returns up to 60 days, as well as free shipping on US orders over $49, and you can use my code TRUELOVE20 at checkout to save 20% on everything, including bundles. That's code TRUELOVE20 at checkout. TRUELOVE20 at checkout. Now let's get back to the show.
100%. 100%. Even if we aren't like consciously aware that we are holding, you know, our hips, you know, hold, they're the junk drawers, right? Of our emotions. That's where we put the emotions that we don't know what we want to do with. Even if we don't even realize like that our body is storing those emotions, just by smelling an essential oil can help us just release whatever we're holding on to. Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why, you know, essential oils are so great when we're meditating or doing yoga. So many like restorative activities they can be helpful for. And I love like your discussion about, you know, your C-section and just diffusing that blend in the room, because, you know, scent has been shown to bring back our most emotionally vivid memories. And this is the reason why we cling to like deceased ones, you know, clothing after they pass away. There's like so many examples of this that just brings back like fresh cut grass every summer. Everybody's like, it reminds them instantly of their dad or their childhood or smelling Play-Doh or even like sunscreen and like coconut oil. Like it reminds you of summer, right? Just all these emotions. Like there's no other sense that can flood you with these so many emotionally vivid memories, like the power of scent, of smell.
All of those things. I'm like, yeah, it's summer. Summer's coming, you know, it just makes you feel like you're in it. You're there. Mm-hmm. So just for a couple of examples, what would be a few oils that you would use in that scenario for like any type of like meditative yoga, breath work, release work? What would be a couple of oils that you would recommend during that time?
So this will vary from person to person, just because we all have our own, you know, memories and associations. We never want to use something that we have a negative like response with in the past, because that can happen. So it also varies just upon our like you know, olfactory preferences and perceptions. Like, we all have certain scents we like and some that we don't like. So, I mean, but some really, I mean, there's such a wide range of essential oils that can be great, you know, for meditation or yoga or just helping you release. So, you know, lavender, like we talked about. I'm a big fan of tree oils. I think it's just the forest within me. I grew up on a Christmas tree farm. So, you know, going back to that memory set association, like Christmas trees and the scent of trees reminds me of home and safety and security. So I like really lean into a lot of tree oils. Sandalwood.
Holly, of course you grew up on a Christmas tree farm. Oh my gosh. You're the cutest.
My parents still own it and operate it. Yeah, I love going home to visit. They live in Wisconsin, so it's really fun.
Is your dad Santa Claus?
No. No. No.
Okay. Yeah, I feel the same way about tree oils. I don't know if it's just because of their grounded, like, nature. Mm-hmm. And they're, yeah. It's, like, heavy in a, like protective way. Like, you walk into a forest and you're like, I'm so, but so grounded and, like,
yeah.
Connected to what's around me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. They help us just feel a lot more present, which is exactly. This is why forest bathing is such a, you know, like big deal and so incredibly popular and helpful for so many people.
Wait, explain.
Forest bathing?
Yeah.
So forest bathing is, it's a Japanese concept. It's called, I think in Japanese, it's called like Shirin Yoku or something like that. But it just means like embracing nature in the forest. And there has been studies showing that people that it's not like even going to the forest to do anything, not even like having to go on a hike or anything, but literally just sitting in the forest for 30 minutes has been shown to increase our parasympathetic nervous system activity. It's been shown to help our immune system and increase our NK cells. NK cells are the natural killer cells, which just work really important for just like fighting off disease and cancer. It's a huge thing in Japan. This doctor, I can't think of his name off the top of my head, that kind of discovered, he's done a ton of different studies on it, just showing how people just respond better to stress and disease when they spend more time in the forest, which completely makes sense. But he's also shown to the same doctor that's done studies that those same essential oils diffused can produce very similar effects, which is really interesting. It kind of shows that there's a link between those terpenes released in nature as well as the terpenes found within essential oils.
Yeah, so it's maybe not so much about, and I'm sure it is, but
it's a combination.
About like actually being there, but it's the smells that are released that have such a big impact on us. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure like if you're not near a forest, you can have an oil and go stand in your grass, you know, because we know grounding is incredibly impactful for our health and our well-being. There's studies that show the decrease in inflammation just by standing in dirt, which is just like, we're literally hurting our own selves being in offices, you know, and being in the house and like trying to stay away from everything. It's like, the world is not against us, you know, Mother Nature is like trying to support us. And it's just so fun to have the studies to back that up. You're like, why do I feel so good in the ocean? I feel energized. Yes. You know, like, there's real science behind that. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the more that we can get outside, the better. Always, like, especially like if the weather's nice in the summer, like this time of year, like every meal I make sure I eat out with my kids, like either on a picnic, like a picnic blanket or at the table, just because they just respond so much better. They get along better. Like, I'm happier. Everybody's happier if we can get outside. But if we can't, then we use those oils inside. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Totally. I feel like I interrupted you after forest bathing.
Oh, you're fine. Oh, we were just talking about different oils that can help.
Frankincense, so lavender, tree oils. Yeah, go ahead.
Lavender, tree oils, sandalwood, frankincense is really helpful. Bergamot is a really helpful oil that not a lot of people think of, but has like that uplifting, but yet really like calming nature to it. There's so many essential oils that can be helpful. Basically,
that's just like helpful because there is so many. It's like, where do I even start? I'd rather not, you know, it's like, but just having like a few that you know where to like pull from, I think is really helpful. Besides that calming, like we talked about lavender, release work, meditation and that, how important is just our smells around us in general How important is that to our mental and emotional state? Not just like to calm us, but what are some other ways that those surrounding smells can impact us?
Yeah, I love this question because I feel like our sense of smell is so underrated and a lot of us take it for granted. And I mean, one of the beautiful things of COVID in the last couple of years is a lot of people lost their sense of smell and they realized how important it was to their overall emotional well-being.
I literally was so depressed. I lost my smell and I lost my taste. And I was like, this is a terrible life to not have those two things. I couldn't smell coffee. I couldn't. And also like on a safety level, like we had a cup of like, I don't know, we were cleaning something. It was like a cup of vinegar, literally smelled. Like nothing, like water, you know, but I knew it was vinegar. I'm like, gosh, it is just, you just take it for granted. You are smelling and testing and gauging things all the time. But I lost that. And it would like, that's so triggering to me because it was very bad.
I think a lot of people like had this like aha, like light bulb moment about our sense of smell when, you know, they lost it. And you know, 75% of the emotions that we generate on a daily basis are impacted by the smells around us. And a lot of those smells, we don't even like, aren't even really consciously aware of or processing. And we don't even realize how they're impacting us. I mean, you brought up food, like for example, the flavor of food, 90% of the flavor of food comes from our smell. It doesn't come from the taste of food. This is the reason why, you know, when we plug our nose and try to take down something that tastes disgusting, it's not as bad, right?
Yeah. What the heck? Yeah.
Exactly. So when we can't taste, when we don't smell and we don't have like that flavor of food, you know, we can become depressed. We can lose our appetite. This happens all the time with elderly or those that have Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. Just food tastes bland. Why would you want to eat it if it tastes bland? Also just even just like surrounding, like talking about like things that surround us and how that impacts us, like scent marketing is huge. Like a lot of people don't realize like how scents in our environment are impacting our behaviors, just at the unconscious level, like all the time. So some companies are just incredibly smart and use this to their advantage through scent. Like there's a reason why, you know, the swimsuit area of the department smells like, you know, coconut oil, or the baby department smells like baby powder, or the holiday stores smell like those tree candles going, or even like big brands like Abercrombie has their own distinct brand scent. Or like, as I say this, you're probably like, oh yeah, I can smell
it's
like,
or
like, yes, like Anthropology has their volcano candles, or even like the movie theater, like that smell of popcorn when you walk in, like the biggest income producing part of like the movie industry is concessions. It's not the actual movies. Like spas smell like eucalyptus. You know, Nike actually did this cool study where they found that customers' intent to purchase went up by 84%. When they shopped with a distinct pleasant aroma versus when they didn't. So a lot of brands use this. Like when we're trying to sell a house, like if you work in real estate, like you'll find, like I've been to so many open houses that where they like bake, you know, chocolate chip cookies in the house before you get there. And the reason being is because we have like this emotional response to the smell of chocolate chip cookies baked. Like it reminds us of home.
What's wrong with us? Like,
yes, it makes us
We're
feel
so
like
easy.
Safe and secure. Yes, it's something so easy. Orange is another huge one in like real estate. Like if you want to sell a house, like diffuse orange, like get orange.
We're trying
around.
To sell our house and I'm always putting orange in all, just plain orange in every diffuser in every room. I'm like, this is going to do it this time.
Yes. Yeah. Orange, it's uplifting. Like if you walk into a house and it doesn't smell good, you're not going to want to buy it. Like that's a huge like hit or miss. So companies will use like scent marketing just to initiate this emotional response within us. And then when we have that emotional response, we're much more likely to purchase something. But even not even just like that, just how we relate to others is a huge one when it comes to like scent. And I think we don't even kind of realize how much our interaction with others is related to that. You know, when we hug our significant other or our kids or, you know, a parent, like we instantly smell them without even realizing it. We're like, and it calms us. You know, studies have shown that our cortisol levels decrease when we smell someone's, you know, scent that we love. And the reason being is because, like, you know, we all have our signature pheromone scent. You brought up pheromones earlier. So pheromones, for those that don't know, are basically, well, we have hormones inside the body and those interact, they're produced in the body, they interact within the body. Pheromones, though, are produced in the body but interact on the outside of our body. So they influence how others respond to us. So they influence sexual attraction, sexual repellent. They play a huge role in mother-infant bonding. They play a role in even just like synchronization of like menstrual cycles of women that like are closely together a lot. So if you've ever like been with your college roommates. Yeah. Like if you, you know, went to college and all your roommates, all of you had, you know, your period at the exact same time, like pheromones play a role in that.
Yeah.
So we each have our own like signature pheromone scent. No two people have the same one. So this is just made up of, you know, our pheromones, our body oils, our fatty acids, and they're just secreted on our skin through, you know, our sweat. So the crazy thing is that like researchers don't really know how they impact how we relate to each other, but they do know that they play a huge role in the mate that we choose for life, which is just kind of crazy that we tend to, women will prefer the smell of like sweaty t-shirts from men that have suitable genes, basically meaning that like we have this genetically based immune system that creates better offspring. So like if you've ever, like I've had this in the past, like I've dated someone and I remember this like distinctly in my past that I met this guy and he was like great and he was so funny and so sweet, but something about his smell, and it wasn't like a bad smell, but I remember thinking like I just can't. Like there was something off about him.
Yeah, that's, it's the, there's just something missing. It was that.
Yeah,
the genes
exactly.
Are off.
Yes. And no, and I really like looking back, I'm like thinking about it, I'm like, I can see like where that would be. Like, I don't know. It's just so interesting. But also like, even just how we interact like with our children or our spouse, like we can literally smell fear and stress in others. And it's not just like that energy that's coming off, and maybe that's some part of it. But we unconsciously can detect whether someone is stressed or scared by smelling the pheromones that are released in their sweat. You know, this happens with dogs a lot. There was a study released last year that showed that dogs can actually smell the volatile compounds released in our breath when we are stressed. And that's why they tend to like come near us a lot and like won't leave us alone when we're feeling like anxious and stressed. So it's similar to that. Obviously we don't have as strong of sense of smell as dogs.
That's
you look
so
like you have
wild.
A light bulb
like
moment.
Every time my kids are upset, our little dog that we have in the house runs over and will
yes.
not leave them alone. I'm like, oh, she knows you're sad, but like she literally knows that they're sad.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they can
that something
smell
is
that
wrong.
Yes, yeah, this is even just like when like a woman is pregnant and how like a dog or a cat, well, they just sense it. They can smell those changes in the pheromones when you become pregnant, and they'll like, they won't leave you alone. Or
oh
when you're
gosh.
Getting close to like going into labor. Yeah. They can smell those changes in your hormones, and that's why they won't leave you alone. It's
crazy.
Oh my
gosh. That's so wild. With my first pregnancy, especially like our cats and our big dog, our German Shepherd, he was just obsessed with me and like putting his head on my belly and like didn't even have a belly yet, you know, and they're just like so obsessed with you and you're like,
yeah.
what is going on? But they really do know. That's incredible. That's so
yeah.
wild.
I know. It's like, it's so cool. Animals, like we need to like study that more and do more research on that and use that to our advantage. Like hopefully someday they will like utilize
yeah.
dogs more. I mean, dogs can literally smell cancer. Like there's
right.
so many more ways that we can utilize dogs for this. But anyways, humans obviously don't have as strong a smell
yeah.
as dogs. But there's so many cool studies that have shown that we do know when someone is stressed or fearful. And I've kind of shared about this in the past on my Instagram, but just like, there was this one study where they swabbed like sweaty armpits of men, and some of the men were watching a scary movie and some of them were watching a funny movie. And then they had women, they kind of were watching their eye expression, did this visual test with women as they unknowingly were inhaling the sweat, which is just, if I was like a volunteer in the study, I would be like, ooh, kind of weird after knowing what they did.
Yeah.
But they found that the men who were watching the scary film, that their sweat caused those women to open their eyes in more of a fearful expression. Without even knowing that there is a difference. There was an even cooler study though that showed that they had like skydivers and they taped, you know, absorbent pads underneath their arms and had them go skydiving. And then the next day they had them, you know, run on a treadmill for the exact same amount of time as they did skydiving, the exact same time of the day and all this. So they had volunteers smell both types of sweat. Again, I'm not sure where they found these volunteers, but the volunteers were not able to distinguish a difference between the two types of sweat, the skydiving or the running. They said, oh, the sweat smells exactly the same for both. What they did find was crazy was that the amygdala within the brain, which we talked about, important for our fear response, our stress response, and the hypothalamus, which is just, you know, also kind of related to all that, which is regulating the systems within the body. They were much more active when they inhaled the skydiving sweat. The brain literally lit up.
So yes. Your brain knew and you still didn't know.
Yes, it just shows that there is something to our olfactory system being able to detect, you know, when others are stressed or fearful around us without us even knowing. And I think this goes a lot for like children. Like I relate this to kids a lot. Like when I am stressed or upset, even if I'm like, say I'm in my like luteal phase and maybe I'm not like verbally expressing that stress or I'm, you know, crabby, maybe I'm putting it on my happy Holly face or whatnot. They can tell that something is not quite right. And they'll just maybe act out a little bit more than usual. Or they'll just struggle a little bit more. They like feed off of our energy. If you've ever like packed for like a trip and like, it's supposed to be a happy time and you're getting ready or you're moving or whatnot. And you're like, you seem okay. And you're getting through it, but your kids like literally are feeding off of that. And I think that plays a huge role in just, the pheromones and their amygdala is kind of triggered by that. Like, it's like almost like the same kind of chemical, like talking back and forth.
Like subconsciously they know, mm-hmm. and then they subconsciously act out and they don't really know why, but it's because of your energy that you're trying to like hide, but you can't because you smell
it. Even when we're like trying to suppress it, you know, like they can tell that something's just off. And same with us with our kids, like if they've had a bad day at school and they come home, like especially teenagers, they're so good at like suppressing their emotions. Like we can tell something's quite off. It's like that gut feeling. And I think that gut feeling, some of that comes from those pheromones.
Okay. So I've got more of a specific question on, you mentioned luteal phase. How can we use aromas or scents or oils to decrease anxiety during menstruation or during, you know, PMS symptoms or any of that? Is there any oils that you would recommend for women during that season, those phases?
Yeah. I think it's always good for women to just be in tune with where they are in their monthly cycle and how that's impacting how they feel. And like, it is so beneficial to kind of lean into that and utilize essential oils during those seasons because, you know, our sense of smell directly impacts the limbic system, which is going to make us feel like calm and relaxed and just help us just kind of slow down, which is what our bodies are trying to tell us to do during our late luteal and our, you know, menstruating season. You know, it all kind of depends on your cravings. I'm big about like, if you are feeling like called towards a certain essential oil during that season, like go for it. Like that's your body almost saying like, that's what I want. So if you want, you know, an uplifting oil, which may be helpful, like lemon or lime or bergamot or grapefruit, just because they'll kind of give us a little bit of energy and kind of lift the mood when we're feeling just kind of blah during those seasons. Those are really helpful. If you want to kind of like lean into being more like kind of relaxed and slowing down, which is what our bodies are trying to tell us to do, then, you know, those tree oils or like spruce or lavender or cypress can be really helpful. Those are probably the two main ones that I would kind of like lean into. Frankincense is another really great one kind of during that season because they're going to be really helpful for just those anxious feelings.
Mm-hmm. What, just moving more towards essential oils for moms specifically, what do you wish that more moms knew about using essential oils in their daily life, maybe with their kids? If you, I know that you probably can't like recommend or not, but like what do you wish more moms knew about using essential oils? And then also, I guess we can go into like, how do you feel about using essential oils with children?
Okay. So what do I wish more moms knew? I think more moms, just to generalize that, I wish more moms just knew about essential oils to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, you never meet a mom that says, oh, I wish I didn't know about essential oils. Like they always say, I wish I would have known about these earlier.
Right.
So in general, like I just wish that more of them knew. And I also wish those that use them would try not to overcomplicate them. Because I think as moms, we overcomplicate everything and we overthink everything and we just want to do what's best for us and for our kids. So then we just don't use them to their full benefit. And even like literally just opening up the bottle and smelling it when, you know, your son or daughter maybe is having a toddler tantrum can be so helpful to just calm and relax you. Same with them. We don't need to be making like these fancy blends or doing all these fancy DIYs, but just taking a moment to just smell them and notice how that impacts how you feel. I think just engaging in that intentional self-care can be so helpful in general as a mom. And then the second half of your question, you know, using essential oils with children, absolutely. I think like it can be so helpful for both of you.
Right.
Just knowing, even especially like children, you know, their most pronounced memory scent associations are formed before the age 10. So we can use essential oils to create happy moments for them, moments that they remember us by. We can use essential oils to help them sleep better at night, to help when they're having, you know, those big emotions and, you know, tantrums or being really upset or just struggling. Same with us. Sometimes it's hard to be like, I don't really know what to do in this situation, but I'm just going to smell this oil and maybe you should smell it with me. And I've done that with my kids, and it just taking that moment and just like bonding over like a scent, it works amazing. So many ways that we can utilize essential oils just with kids to help them.
How at night, you mentioned helping them sleep. What would be one that you recommend for sleep for kids? Like if you have a diffuser in the room, what would be like your top oils for kids?
So we talk about lavender a lot, but I feel like lavender is a really gentle essential oil that is a lot of kids really enjoy. Chamomile, Roman chamomile, is another really gentle essential oil that a lot of kids like. It can be a little bit stronger, so you don't need as many drops. Like you can literally just put one drop in your diffuser and that is plenty. Mandarin is another really big one. Mandarin, tangerine are great for kids. My kids love spruce. They just love tree oils, probably because of me.
They love the tree.
So like I'll even do just like spruce and like orange, and it doesn't even have to be a diffuser. Like you could literally just make a little linen spray and just like spray it on their beds, those monster sprays that people will call them, just to like get rid of like any, you know, monsters or scariness that they have. But my kids love like spraying a little bit, like even on their like lovey, and then smelling it, you know, before they go to bed. And I can tell a huge difference in the days that they use essential oils at night to help them sleep and the days that they don't. Usually the days that they don't, like they'll come up a couple times before they actually go to bed, and I'll be like, oh, it's time for bed. But the days that we use essential oils, like they usually are out pretty quick. And the same goes for me. Like I notice a huge difference the days I use them for sleep versus the days that I don't.
I know we're talking about like the same kind of oils, like mostly like for calming.
Yeah.
Or another way that you like to use essential oils that are like, we can use lavender for basically everything we've talked about today. Yeah. Is there another like category of maybe like another scent category or another like way you use essential oils in your life besides the calming factor? Like I'm guessing for the tantrums, we would also use like one of those that we mentioned, like to just help like down-regulate everybody, like the lavender or the tree oils.
I mean, it kind of depends. Like if you're using it for like an adult, like I also like the uplifting oils, obviously the citrus. We can also combine in a little bit of mint, which kind of like wakes us up and opens up the senses. Eucalyptus is a great essential oil for both. We want to be a little bit mindful with kids. You never want to put it like in their nose or anything like that, because it kind of has like a strong aroma, but it is safe to diffuse around kids. So those are all kind of oils to help support the respiratory system, help open us up. They promote more like clarity in the brain. Also, especially for like kids and adults, I love like vetiver. It's great for just focus. Especially, you know, like kids, like they just want to play and have fun. So for those that like homeschool, or maybe you're doing like homework with your kids or whatnot, and they're kind of bouncing off the walls and going all over the place, they can really just kind of help. Just like, again, it's made from the root, right? So any oils derived from the roots, like they have that morphology where they're going to just want to like make you more grounded. So vetiver has been really helpful for just kind of both of you, just helping promote focus and memory, and just promoting like positive feelings too. Right. I also think of my daughter, for example, like sometimes she'll get really nervous or get like the butterflies about going to school, about whatever is going on at school that day. So we'll love to just like, she has a little diffuser bead brace necklace, and we'll put like a drop on the back, or they make them in bracelets too. We'll put like a drop on it that she'll have like throughout the rest of her day that she can just smell whenever she's getting like those butterflies or getting worried or anxious. That's another great safe way to use with children as well.
Hey sister, I'm taking a moment to share about my favorite barefoot shoes brand by Feel Grounds. Our feet are our foundation, and if that foundation isn't strong, it can have a trickle effect up to our knees, hips, and you guessed it, your pelvic floor. Studies show that by simply switching your foot's environment to a barefoot shoe, it can lead to an increase of muscle strength in the feet up to 60% with no additional foot-focused exercises. I love Feel Grounds because they have a thin sole to help you feel the ground, zero drop to reduce knee and hip pain, a wide toe box to foster toe splay, and it's super flexible to enable full range of motion for your feet. Use the link in the show notes to get your pair of Feel Grounds to improve your foundation. Now, let's get back to the show.
What is the biggest myth on social media that you see about essential oils that you would like to just wish that it wasn't, like that you can dispel right now?
Oh gosh.
Okay. Yeah.
There's so many. It's hard to just pick just one. Oh, I think probably the biggest one, because I'm a big like safety person. So I always just want to make sure people are utilizing essential oils safely. And everyone's going to use the oils whatever way they please, but it's my job to just share the safety. And I think the biggest thing, like in the wellness world, like we're fed this idea that like natural is always safe. And I mean, yeah, when used appropriately, a lot of natural components of things tend to be gentle and safe to use. But it's just important to remember that just because something's natural doesn't necessarily mean it's safe under all circumstances. Mm-hmm. So I think I just would want to remind people that, you know, that we should be diluting essential oils when applying them to the skin. And if we're experiencing an adverse reaction, this is probably a big one that drives me crazy, is that people will say, oh, if you have a rash after applying it, that just means you're detoxing. Or if you get a headache from diffusing, that just means you're detoxing. And that's just simply not true. Like typically that is the body just screaming out for help and just saying, stop whatever you're doing. And it's either due to like, you know, overstimulation, we're not, you know, using the correct oil for us, or we're, you know, diffusing in a really small space. And maybe it's just our body's like, too much today. Or, you know, you're applying it to your skin and maybe it's essential oil that maybe is not as gentle on the skin, and you're applying it without diluting it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important. I mean, essential oils overall are very, very safe. Like they are safe when they're used appropriately for the right person, you know, in the right conditions, for the right age, in the appropriate route. You know, there's people that ingest a ton of different essential oils and do all this crazy stuff with them. But I think, I mean, overall, when they are used with the appropriate route of administration and in a safe dilution, that they're safe.
Where would somebody go to learn about all of this appropriate use? Because like, and the ages and how to dilute, and like where do you think is a good source of information to know how to use those things?
This is easy. My page. No, really. I do have a safety guide. I did. Well, that too. Well, on my Instagram account, I do have an essential oil safety guide on there that goes through, you know, what oils to avoid when pregnant, what oils to avoid for young children, what oils to avoid around pets, a safe dilution, how to dilute that.
There's episode number two right there.
So that shares all of that information as well. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So yes, that's probably, just not to like put out my book there, but I feel like that just has like, and it has basic knowledge that kind of explains things in a simple simple way, which is just easier to understand. Because some books are just, not everybody wants to read about all the aromatic chemistry and the amount of constituents within the book and all that. I mean, I do, but I know the general public does not.
Okay, so our, we can get controversial now, I guess. We're towards the end of our talk.
Oh.
How do you feel about, just I guess in general, the essential oil companies like Young Living and doTERRA? I'm like a, I don't know, like a part, like a brand partner or whatever with Young Living. I've been using it for probably like close to three years now, and I could sell it. I'm not an aromatherapist. I like to stay in my lane, you know? And so I don't talk about it like to sell to people, like on how to use it. But in general, what are your feelings around these companies? Is one better than the other? What do you think about people just off, you know, online, just like being able to talk and sell and, you know, create blends and like all of this stuff? What's like your general feeling as a specialist when you see this type of information out there? Like, what kind of feelings does that bring up for you?
Oh, goodness. I'm gonna smell my oil before responding to this.
I was just gonna say, just kidding. Do we need some oils
too? I'm sure. Yeah. No. I am pretty, like, I'm a very positive person. So I always kind of try to see the light in everything. And I'm sure that this question would bring up a lot of controversy for some people. I think with like any big company like doTERRA or Young Living, especially MLMs, like there's always going to be a ton of employees and a ton of distributors. And I'm sure it's very hard for them to appropriately educate all of them. And with that always comes a lot of politics. And I'm sure there's a lot of politics in smaller companies. We just don't hear about it as much because they don't have, you know, 2 million employees or whatnot that are on the internet. You know, with most companies, though, there's things that I love and things that I don't love. And, you know, as far as like, is one better than the other or anything that, I mean, I've heard great things about doTERRA. I personally have not really used doTERRA much. I worked with Young Living for several years, and I'm so grateful for the time that I spent with them because I think it really kind of catapulted my love for essential oils. I visited several of their farms, especially my favorite was the Royal Hawaiian Sandalwood Reforestation project. Because I can really see just the farmers and their hearts for the plants and sustainability and the environment. But definitely, I think there's some areas for improvement in big companies, like even just like going to their blogs or going to their website and things. I mean, probably the biggest thing that drives me crazy is like the safety information. Like, I think they could be a lot better about just sharing safety and educating their distributors about safety. I mean, oh gosh, I mean, it's like, that's a whole bucket of worms, but there's so many distributors that just go say whatever they want. Basically, I think there was like a couple, doTERRA, distributors last year that were fined. Yeah. Like $15,000 each. One was a pediatrician and there was like two other ones that also worked in healthcare. I think one was a nurse for, you know, just improperly sharing to use essential oils for, you know, COVID and to actually treat like medical conditions. So that's, I think, where there's a lot of problems with just people not knowing about essential oils and not being aromatherapists, not really having the education from the company, and then just sharing in unsafe ways.
Right.
Or making false claims or false promises. That's, I think, where they could use a lot of improvement.
What would be like your top three oils for adults, I guess, for just diffusing, just like to smell, and your top three favorite for children? Like if somebody was just starting off and they just, you know, they don't want to go out and buy 50 different oils, like what, like for beginners, what would be your recommendation? Like where do they start?
So I think for both, I feel like lavender is a good one. A lot of people love the aroma of lavender. It's really easy to use. You can put a drop on your pillow at night to go to sleep. You can put a drop in your shower. Great oil for the skin. Also, I feel like eucalyptus is another big one just because like it is really calming, but it's so helpful for, you know, the sick season when we just need a little extra respiratory support. I love peppermint too. I mean, peppermint can do so many different things, has that cooling effect. It's great for head tension or neck pain.
The three oils that you picked, the lavender, eucalyptus, and peppermint, like, we do not travel without those. They are just like our Swiss Army knives, you know?
Yes.
Lavender. Being stressed out, lavender. Driving for a long time and you want the kids to relax, lavender. I have like a wood diffuser, like review mirror thing, and I always have like oils that I put on there.
That's yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and peppermint too. It's good for like if you're traveling, especially like motion sickness, like any like nausea, like GI upset, even like the turbulence in the plane. Like I put a little bit behind my kids' ears when we're starting to like descend. It can be so helpful. Yeah, those are probably my top three. I mean, obviously, we want to be a little bit careful with peppermint because it can be really strong for kids that are under age three. But yeah, I love those. And then for like kids, like orange, kids love citrus. So like orange, obviously we want to be careful with younger kids. We don't want them to like, you know, get a hold of it and try to like eat it or anything like that because they smell so good. But yeah, like those are probably the top essential oils for sure.
Holly, you've been a wealth of information, and I think this is really helpful for people that are like debating whether they want to start using essential oils in their life and like how aromas are already impacting us so much throughout our days subconsciously. But if somebody wants to learn more, tell us a little bit of, I mean, like all of your offerings. You've written like three books in the last year. You're basically Superwoman. Ah. What are your books about and where can we find them and what else is part of your offering as Science of Essentials? What else do you do that we can find you and support you?
So obviously I'm found on Instagram at Science of Essentials, and I through Instagram you can find my link for my book. So I have Science of Essentials, The Essential Guide to Promoting Health and Healing, and that's a great book for just like a beginner that also maybe want to know a little bit of the science, like kind of that we've talked about, like why do I like certain scents, why do I not like certain scents, those kind of questions that we're always like and then I also have a book of my best like recipes. So any like DIYs, if you want to make like a bug spray or a body butter, these are like my like over 100 tried and true recipes. And they also have a best blends book. So if you're like new to diffusing and you're like, I'm not really sure what I want to diffuse today, the book is just organized by like categories and themes. So you can literally open it up. It'll say like weekend relaxing blends or sleep blends or Christmas blends. So it has over like 300 different blends that you can go and look at it. And then I'm also online at scienceofessentials.com, and I have a blog on there, lots of information, and just more education, webinars, and all of that goodness.
That's incredible. You do so much. Like, do you have, like, how do you do so much? How old are your kids?
That's the only reason why, is because my kids are all school age now. So they are 9, 7, and 5. So this is my daughter's first year in kindergarten. So it has like opened up a whole new world. And I think as a mom too, like you're used to like multitasking and getting a lot done in a short amount of time. So now when they're all in school, I feel like I get a lot done in a larger amount of time.
Right. So, yeah. It's a different season. It's a different season.
Yes, for sure.
So you also teach people to be a aromatherapist.
Yes. So I'm an instructor through the School for Aromatic Studies. So I teach aromatherapy certification courses. So the course that I teach is a 14-week course, and we only do cohorts. So it's not self-paced. I mean, it is kind of self-paced if you want it to be, but we meet every single week, and then you have, you know, your assignments, and it's been super fun. So my last class just graduated, and then I'm going to start enrolling again in July for a class to start in August, and then we'll finish right before the holidays.
And who would you recommend this course for? Like, who are the people that are signing up, and how would they, you know, be using this in their professional field, whatever they do?
So I have a wide range of people that take the course. It could be someone that just wants to feel like empowered and confident to use essential oils for themselves or their family. It could be someone that wants to take that certification and maybe work with others, work with their own clients or make products and sell them, or just have that certification and validity behind them. Yeah, so those are kind of like the main, either want to feel confident or you want to use that certification to do something else with it. Maybe somatic healing, use it with yoga, make products. There's such a wide pathways, so many different pathways that you can take with aromatherapy.
But Holly, thank you so much for meeting with me today and kind of like, I know we've been like working with each other's schedule to like make this happen. I'm just really glad we got to. I love following you. Your page has so much fun information. It's really digestible. It's not overwhelming. And I think anybody that goes to your page, Science of Essentials, can find easy ways to start implementing essential oils in their life that doesn't feel overwhelming. It doesn't feel like, oh, one more thing I need to do. It just feels really natural. And it kind of just goes right into whatever you're already doing. And so I love that about your page. You can also go there to see her pick all of her fun flowers and mushrooms and canned things and make body butter. And you're just like Holly of all trades. You just do it all. And I'm going to go get all your books because I want to learn more from you. I feel like anybody that's in the doTERRA or the Young Living business should like do your certification too, to just like really understand like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I use all these things and I can sell it. Like I can have people under me, but I'm like, I don't want that because I don't know enough, you know? And I just don't feel comfortable speaking about it unless it's like, this is what I do. You know, I use this for my kid. And I use it for myself like in this way. But yeah, I think that you really have so many different offerings. Like your books are probably amazing and certificates, but the page is like a really great place to start because it just, you know, you're going to see the page and just fall in love with Holly because it's just fun. That's what I did. I found you and I was like, oh my gosh, this page is amazing. And I want to have you on the podcast. So thank you so much for being on and chatting with me. I'm going to go get all your books so that I can learn from you.
Thanks, Jessie. Pleasure. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Daily Momcha podcast. If you did, be sure to subscribe. Also, before you go, I would love you forever if you could rate and review this podcast, share with a mom friend or on social media, and be sure to tag me at Move With True Love and at Daily Momcha Pod on Instagram. Again, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you soon.